Hello, welcome to the Axiom Podcast. I'm your host today, Devin Dash, and I get the privilege of interviewing two individuals I've known for some time, and I've had the opportunity to work alongside for many years, and that's because they're members of the Axiom family. Today, I'm interviewing Jesse Curry and Robbie Monday from Roofing by Curry. They're clients of Axiom, and we just want them to share their story. We want you to hear it from them so that you can learn from somebody who is in the trenches of business. Welcome, Jesse and Robbie.
Thank you, Devin.
Thanks, Devin.
Thanks for having us. Pleasure.
Yeah, it's I'm really excited about this because, you know, obviously I've known you guys for 5 years, 6 years now. And I know Joey has known you for longer than that. And man, just it's a really truly is a privilege to walk alongside you guys and to see how your team grows, how your impact in the community has grown over the years. And I think it's definitely worthwhile for us to be able to share that with the community. I think the small business audience that listens to us would value that insight and the lessons learned over the time. And I think it's also cool to hear where you guys are getting ready to go and what's next. So
awesome. Yeah. Likewise, we've enjoyed the partnership with Axiom. You know, you guys have been great. And, you know, we've been fortunate to have you guys along, you know, for the ride.
For sure.
It's been great.
Thank you. Well, we'll go individually, but Jesse, why don't you start just sharing a little bit about who you are and let our audience know that.
Sure. Jesse Curry, Vice President, Roofing by Curry, son of the founder of Roofing by Curry. It would be Gary Curry. You know, he started Roofing by Curry in 1986 here in Sarasota, Florida. Basically, he worked by himself, or he had a helper for most of the time. He would work with my brother sometimes on and off. And then I joined him in 1998. So, you know, 26 years ago.
That's quite a trip. A long time in the business. I mean, almost 40 years in Sarasota, Manatee County, serving these communities.
Yep. Yep. Anniversary's coming up here in a couple of years. Yep.
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Jesse. Robbie, tell everyone a little bit about you.
Robbie Monday, general manager with Roofing by Curry. I've been here a little bit over 3 years. I got a history with obviously the founder, Gary. About 20 years ago, I did work for the company as more of a kind of a tech guy, a service and on the roof. So my background's been roofing pretty much most of my life, and had the privilege of getting out of the technical side of the service side and kind of learning management and learning, you know, how to run a business. And lo and behold, you know, 3.5 years ago, we crossed paths again, everything lined up, and I'm here. And it's been a privilege to come back to the Curry family for sure.
Yeah, we were all happy to have Robbie's return. As it's come to be known, or it is now. And it just seems like the stars aligned. And, you know, Robbie was out, you know, able to get a ton of valuable, you know, experience and knowledge. And for him to come back at that time, it was perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, Jesse, that's one major milestone in the Curry story. You've shared briefly kind of the synopsis of starting in 1986 and being here for almost 38 years, 40 years. Mm-hmm. But that's one of many milestones. So if you would just share a little bit more of a brief summary of the Curry story and kind of the highlights and key milestones. You know, you mentioned joining the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I joined in 98. I was actually a manager at a local Wendy's, and the promotion, you know, we couldn't work it out with the management. It came with a pay cut, you know, and from their side, they're like, this is just protocol. Once you get the promotion, put in for a raise and we'll push it through. And I was like, yeah, I know I've been down this road before, you know, but I couldn't agree to it. And then I was passing by my dad in his little corner office in the garage. And he was like, hey, I had to hire another guy the other day. And I said, will you hire me? Cause I got to get out of this place, man. We're at an impasse. We're not making any, you know, progress. And the days are turning into weeks and months. And, you know, I got to do something else. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are you sure? Because it's May. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I used to work with them over summer vacations and stuff. So I knew what I was getting myself into. You know, he brought me on. Gary, you know, I was on the roof of Gary. You know, he taught me, you know, all the basics, drying in, shingling, drip edge, flashings, all that stuff. He taught me directly. Eventually he started, you know, he was on the phone more time than he was nailing shingles. And eventually, you know, he was on the road more time than he was nailing shingles. I got to run and go do something. I got to go. And then eventually he's like, you know, I'm going to pair you up with someone else. Right. So, you know, so I got other things to do and it just kept growing. We mainly were focused solely on new construction homes, shingle roofs. And that was our bread and butter all the way up until the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. You know, we just kept doing more and more. I still remember the first time where he was like, we're going to do $1 million this year. And I was like, oh man, that's incredible. Like mind blowing, you know, yeah. I just dropped back a little bit. You know, I was a kid, I think in middle school and might've been elementary school, maybe, not really sure. But, my dad would use the family car to go to work. Ladder in the trunk. It was a 77 Chevy Caprice, white two-door. Wow. And that was like his work vehicle. So when I would get home from school and we needed to go to the store, or like we were walking. Mm-hmm. I remember my brother had appendicitis and we had to walk to the hospital to visit him. And when I came home from school one day and there was a brown Dodge truck that he had bought for $500.
Wow.
I was like, we're a two vehicle family now. Like, this is the big time. I remember honestly, genuinely feeling that like sense of pride that there was two vehicles. And when I came home and you know, my dad was at work and there was still a vehicle that we could utilize for errands. I thought it was just the greatest thing.
It's fun to hear you say, share stories like that, because I think, you know, that's where a lot of small business owners are, a lot of entrepreneurs are, where it's everybody in the family is in the trenches too, in some way, shape or form, whether they realize it or not, they are in the trenches working in the business or working harder because of the business in some regard. So it's fun to hear you share that story. And, you know, eventually the business got to a point where he said, I got a brown work truck.
Yeah.
So that kept growing.
It was awesome. I got a picture of that truck on my desk. I found somewhere. I'm like, I need that. So I printed it out and it's right there on my desk.
Cool.
But yeah, so, you know, every year kept growing and growing up until, you know, the recession. The recession hit us in October 2006. Mm-hmm. 2006. You know, I remember we were hearing rumors. You would hear stuff like, oh, permits are down in Charlotte County. And did you hear the surveyors are out of work and stuff? And we were so busy. We, you know, I mean, if you walk the logic out, it's like, well, if the surveyors and the permits guys are out of business, you know, and then the block guys, eventually roofing will. But I think we were just so busy. You know, we knew it was going to slow down, but we didn't realize that it was going to come to a complete stop.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember, I think we had like 160 some jobs on the list, and shingle roofs, they go really quickly. And you know, they you just cycle right through them. I think back then we were doing 35 so jobs a week.
Mm-hmm.
So 3-4 weeks later, when the work stops coming in, it's like, oh my gosh, there's 18 jobs on this list.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do? We used to get calls for roof replacements and repairs. We weren't going after that market, but we would still get calls. We had trucks around. We had magnets on the sides of them. And so people would call, and we would actually refer them to other roofers just because it wasn't in our wheelhouse. We would do re-roofs for, say, like a superintendent for one of the builders,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, if there's a relationship involved, we would kind of pull a crew out that had experience in that. But it was, at the end of the day, it was, you know, like almost like a wrench in our system to replacements. Cause you know, it was like three of us in the office. It was Gary, Carol, and me. It was it. And it was just doing the new construction shingles. It was very smooth. But when everything stopped, I still remember thinking, it's like, anybody calls for a roof replacement or a roof leak, we're doing it. You know, we had to let a lot of people go. You know, they just, most of them didn't have to let go. They just drifted off because we ran out of work. Mm-hmm. We took, you know, our best crew, and he started doing re-roofs, and that was our entry into, you know, the homeowner facing replacement.
Yeah, it's huge impact. And, mm-hmm. you know, the resiliency and I think, you know, some of it wasn't resiliency. It was just, it was what it was and mm-hmm. we survived. But how, you know, it's so foreign to me to think that way back then, it sounds like way back then now. Yeah, it's safe to say that.
Sure.
It's far enough back where we it wasn't even our mind to do retail, right? Mm-hmm. And how a kind of a monumental event of the Great Recession forced you and pushed you to make a pretty monumental shift in the vision and what the company was going to do and which customers it was going to serve and starting to shift from a new construction market into a retail market.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have done that had the recession not happened, or would you just continue to grow the new construction?
It's a good question. I was basically answering the phone and scheduling everything. W-2 employee. I don't really know how the finances were, but I know Gary was very happy with how things were, how smooth it was. I remember he had some apprehension about working with homeowners. Yeah. There's a lot of nuance with homeowners. Every homeowner is different. You know, all God's children were all different, right? I think that made him a little nervous. You know, working with builders, you don't got to worry about getting, you know, paid or everything's contractual. You fulfill your side there, and it's like automatic. Right. And I think that was just his comfort zone. That run up during that initial boom there, that's when Robbie was with us. And you know, he was kind of a, whatever we needed done, right? Pretty much, right?
Yep.
Supervising, punch out work. And then he ended up the big roofer around here at the time.
The name we don't speak of.
Okay. hired him away, you know. I think they doubled his salary, I think. Was it double?
Yes.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Gary was like, damn, I can't do anything about that. Best of luck to you, sir. And, you know, no animosity or anything. It's like, yeah, that's a great opportunity. You know, they're much larger than us. They've got their hand. They got multiple branches, you know, have at it. Mm-hmm. Best of luck to you. But yeah, recession hit. Our biggest year was, I believe, 6 million. So 2006, 6 million. And then, I think we dropped to like less than one.
How long did it take for the retail business to start to pick up? Because I know it was like 2013, I think, is when Joey first started having conversations yep. with Gary about, hey, what does it look like, you know, kind of through the recession?
Yep.
So how long did it take for you guys to get to a point where you're like, okay, I don't want to go back to 2008, 2009.
Yep.
So walk me through that.
Yeah, sure. I think 2009 was the worst. That was the year I went back out on the roof. Mm-hmm. I remember I was in the office. It was just me and Gary. Carol was great. She worked like 2 days a week with us to help with, you know, books and stuff. And he was like, hey, what are you working on?
Yeah.
And I was actually just teaching myself Spanish because there was nothing else really to do. And he's like, you got to go back out on the roof. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure thing. So from 2009 to 2011, I was back out on the roof doing shingles, doing dry-ins, doing repairs, doing leak repair estimates, doing them. You know, me and the guy I worked with, we were the repair department. We would do the estimates and we would do the repairs. Mm-hmm. And we were the only shingle install crew we had. 2009 was also the year that the company that hired Robbie away actually ended up going out of business. And the builder we worked with, Neil Communities, mm-hmm. they had to call us and said, hey, you want to do some tile roofs?
We had got you some been work in tile for before? You.
Nope.
Okay.
Hadn't done any tile. We had tried it with little no success. We'll just say no success. They were a pain in the butt. And you know, after like a month of trying to install a tile roof, Gary was like, I make just as much on a shingle roof as I do tile, so I'm not interested. So we just closed it up. But in 2009, we were interested because there was no work. Yeah, Neil Communities had reached out to Gary, and the very next day, a crew had came in from Circle L Roofing, right? They came in, crew came in from there because they had been laid off, and they were a tile crew, a drying crew, or sorry, crew leader, mm-hmm. right? The three phases of a tile roof. Mm-hmm. You need a drying crew, a hot mop crew back then. We don't use kettles anymore, but, and then a tile installer. And they asked if we had work, and Gary said, maybe. So we called Neil back and was like, I think I got a job. I think I got a crew. And they were like, I think I got a job.
Yeah.
And that's how we entered into the tile roofing market. We also got their, is where GIF contractors and the Master Elite contractors, you know, are their upper
most
echelon.
Prestigious.
Yeah, yeah, the most prestigious one. When they went out, there was an open space, and we actually got that space, which allowed us to, you know, have a differentiator on the retail side with homeowners, because we could offer the upgraded warranties, mm-hmm. the longer, better workmanship warranties and all that stuff. So that was 2009. 2011, I went back into the office, and it's just, you know, grown from there. 2012 was the first year we got the awards from GAF as the Master Elite, mm-hmm. Program. That was the year we wrapped the trucks also. That's the thing a lot of people talk about is the trucks and the wraps. There's a little story on that too. The story with the wraps is we would send out postcards, you know, like 250 postcards in and around an area where we had done a roof replacement. Mm-hmm. Pretty standard marketing practice. Hey, we're in the area. And we were doing that through GIF's portal. They've got these tools for contractors. And, you know, I never liked the cookie cutter stuff that, you know, oh, hey, look, it's a picture of a shingle roof with the GIF logo. I always wanted, not just me, Gary, we always wanted things to look like ours. So I would sit there on Photoshop and try to find a good picture of our jobs, customize it, put our logo here, put GIF logos here. And I remember I would go to Gary and be like, hey, what do you think of this postcard? He'd be like, eh, it's okay. It's okay. And we went through this process over and over. And one day I'm on iStock and I'm just looking for a nice photo. And this photo of like a pretty blue sky and like a red roof, splitting it in like a triangle, like a diagonal line. Yeah. Top left was the blue sky, and the bottom right was a like terracotta roof.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a CGI image, and it may well, but it really popped. Mm-hmm. And so I took that image and I, you know, put our phone number here, put our logo here, and I walked to, I go, what do you think of this one? And he goes, that's the one.
Wow.
I love it. We can use that with our business cards too, and our job folders. And, you know, I like that.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm going to do the tailgates with that. And we didn't have a lot of trucks. We had three or four trucks. Maybe we did have a couple sales guys. We had a couple supervisors. Mm-hmm. And I remember Gary always saying he didn't like the full wraps. Cause this is, back then, I know nowadays everybody's got wrapped trucks almost.
Right. It was pretty new. I think the only company really in town that did it was like Signzoo or something.
Yeah, they weren't rare. It was magnet heavy or just your name decal on the side of the mm-hmm. truck with your number on the bed or something. Mm-hmm. Just the lettering. But they started getting more and more popular. You'd see like a plumber or an AC guy. And I remember Gary's complaint was, you know, they're too noisy. He's like, I don't even know what service they are.
Which is ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was like anti wraps.
Yeah.
And actually a competing roofer had opened up a branch down the road from us, and they had only wrapped the truck bed. Mm-hmm. They didn't wrap the cab. And that stuck out to Gary. And he was like, I like that. I like how that looks clean. I like how that looks. And, but, you know, tippy toe, he got our three or four trucks, just the tailgates. Cause mm-hmm. he's like, that's the most optimal. That's where people are, right? Driving behind your vehicles. Mm-hmm. So we basically mimicked our business card with the same background image, the slogan, the why worry. Call Curry was in the middle at the largest font. Mm-hmm. We always thought the why worry call Curry was, well, it's what people told us. They were like, that's memorable. That's great. That's the $1 million slogan. That's great. The why worry call Curry. That's great. Side story. One time I was in the office and this is when I'm, still answering the phone, Roofing by Curry's, Jesse, how may I help you? And this guy on the other line goes, yeah, well, I'm driving down the interstate here and happened to see one of your trucks. And, I've been worrying a lot lately and I saw your truck and it said, why were it called Curry? So I thought, what do I got to lose? And, he was trolling, he was joking, but we had a good laugh and it was like, man, that's there's something special there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That I remember answering the phone and people would say the slogan to me. I would say, Roofing by Curry, this is Jesse. And they would say, why worry, call Curry to me. The first thing they would say. So, during the design, it was like Roofing by Curry is just another roofer, right? But why worry, call Curry has to be front and center. We want people to see that first. Mm-hmm. And so, along the truck, the center of the tailgate is why worry, call Curry. Moving into 2012, 2013, Gary hired a full-time new construction sales guy and we had to get him a vehicle and he requested an Equinox, mm-hmm. right? With the hatchback and stuff, right? Yep. So we couldn't really just wrap the tailgate.
Back quarter panels.
Yeah. So, discussing it with our wrap guy, Gary told him, I always liked how those guys, that other roofer did their wraps. And he replied, oh, half wraps. Okay. All right. So let me, obviously an Equinox doesn't have a truck bed. Mm-hmm. So he's like a half wrap. Okay. So he shot us over some, proofs and he did that diagonal why were you called Curry along the entire side of the Equinox in real bold font. And then over on the side, over the side wheels was the logo, Roofing by Curry. And that's it. We went over there. We both went over to the wrap guy to pick it up. And it was like, this looks good. This looks unique. Mm-hmm. And congratulations, you have a mobile billboard.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, I can wrap all the trucks like this too. So we sent them back and we did the side panels. And that's pretty much the story. And, that's one of the things that people tell us all the time. We even did a little, quirky commercial like that, because people are always like, oh, I see your trucks everywhere. And that's the other thing. I remember when we might've had 12 trucks and that was a lot, 10 or 12 trucks. But I remember somebody said, how many trucks do you guys have now? Like 80?
Right.
And I was like, whoa, either this guy lives in the same cul-de-sac as our office or these trucks stand out.
No, it's funny because it's so ironic that at this one, the one stock photo or the one photo that fit on a postcard that Gary liked.
Yep.
And now it is the most, it's the epitome of your brand. It's what everybody recognizes. So that's a real fun story. I want to go back to kind of the vision for Curry throughout this whole thing, right? So, mm-hmm. I think adversity has a way of solidifying and narrowing our focus, right? In 2008, 2009, it affected a lot. Some businesses didn't survive it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I was young enough to not really be in tune with the full economic impact. My parents, you know, weren't in trades, so they weren't severely impacted by it. But either that, or I just did a good job sheltering me from it. But either neither here nor there, the adversity has a way of clarifying our vision and solidifying what's next. What was this story for you guys? And did you have a clear vision prior to? Did it help solidify your vision later on? Because I know when I started working with you in 2018, mm-hmm. there was that clear vision. Like, hey, we don't want to go through that again. Mm-hmm. We want to build a company that is going to be able to survive a recession, right? And so the branding, all of that focus comes out of that. Mm-hmm. When did that vision become really clear for you guys?
Well, it definitely evolved. I got to give a lot of credit to my wife when she joined the company, probably 2014, I think. Her background was business communications. She has an MBA in, and you know, the vision and the mission was clear to me and Gary for sure, right? It's his company.
Right.
He was always very customer centric, right? It's his name on it, you know, and he's got pride in his work and he wanted to continue that. But I think my wife was the one who sat with Gary and really, you know, focused in on what's the mission that we can communicate to the rest of the company, right? Mm-hmm. So it filters through, you know, all divisions and all layers, you know, and even out into the community.
Yeah.
Right. So I definitely got to give her credit for focusing in that. You know, mm-hmm. she brought a lot of good changes to the company. You know, even little things like Gary would order any color shirt for anybody they wanted, but it didn't really look like we were a team, you know, and it was my wife that was like, hey, we should pick a company color and stick with it. So when we do get, you know, photos, the group photos, we all look like we work at the same place. And you know, little things like that make a big impact.
Yeah, it really helps solidify the culture, mm-hmm. right? And one of the things I know from the story is that, you know, you always had Gary and you always had a deep respect from the employees.
Absolutely.
Right, and I think, you know, some of that was just because of your guys' core values that mm-hmm. still stand to this day and the way that you treated your employees. All right, we're going to pause there. Thank you so much for listening. This concludes part one of our conversation with Jesse Curry and Robbie Monday at Roofing by Curry. Would love to ask you to tune in next time to hear part two of this conversation. Until then, if you enjoy the podcast, we really appreciate your follow or your subscription, your comments. And if you want more from Axiom, feel free to follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time.